This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with myself, Tass and Macca on Joy 94.9. Macca.
Thanks, Tass. Our next guest is Timothy J. Lynch, Associate Professor in a Professor. I'm getting...
Having a bit of trouble with that.
I'm having a trouble with that.
Have you developed a late life lisp?
I have. I'm channeling Ita. Associate Professor in American Politics at the University of Melbourne. Welcome, Timothy, and we call you an Aspro.
Well, you can call me whatever you think I deserve. You can call me Tim. I think that makes it...
Okay, Tim. Good stuff.
Good morning to you, Tim. Great to have you on the airwaves this morning.
And to you.
I wanted to start off, Tim. We're going to talk about will Trumpism remain dominant features of American life after the election. I don't know whether you'd picked up or seen... On one of the White House pages, there's a page about tours of the White House, and particularly around Christmas decorations in the White House. And the pictures are sort of interesting if you want to see Melania up against a lot of trees and baubles. But the words that follow that are that it states this is the last Christmas holiday season of decoration tours of the Trump White House. So Melania is actually acknowledging this is the last year of the Trump White House, whereas Donald doesn't seem to have accepted that yet. So I don't know whether you'd seen that.
Well, yes, it may be that Trump is the only man alive that thinks there is a hope of him staying president. But I think the reality, when it finally kicks in, it as it surely will with the current president, he will be obliged to leave office in the way that every successor that loses an election has left office, not seamlessly, but yeah, definitively.
Do you think, Tim? You know, Trump is, you know, he's denying that he lost. You know, he's throwing out these spurious legal challenges. At the end of the day, the election will be, you know, declared in the House of Representatives on the 14th of December. So, you know, he's going to go. All of us who have this wonderful idea of him being dragged kicking and screaming out of the White House by the Secret Service, it's not going to happen. He will go. But it's actually what he does after that, Trumpism, and Make America Great Again and the rallies, but his control over the Republican Party, making it effectively a policy-free zone. Is this going to continue? Is he... You know, he needs the attention. He wants the attention, doesn't he?
Yes, I think that's an appropriate question to ask. And I think the problem in its asking is it continues the obsession with Donald Trump, which he rather likes. But the right question that you've asked is what endures after he's left? And we're calling that rather inaccurately Trumpism. The great lesson of this election, what was most remarkable about it, was how robust the vote for Trumpism actually turned out to be. So this is a man who has been vilified by his opponents as being racist and sexist and transphobic and Islamophobic. I mean, you name it, he's guilty of it. And yet amongst all these demographics, he's increased his appeal.
Yeah.
Gay men and women, I mean, we're trusting exit polls here, but they're pretty reliable. 4 years of Donald Trump's apparently transphobic rhetoric and policy agenda has doubled the LGBT vote for the Republicans from 14% to 28%. And this is replicated amongst other groups that progressives in America were confidently expecting would turn out for Joe Biden. Well, they didn't. They turned out for Donald Trump. And that's what we need to explain and understand.
Tim, one of your colleagues from Melbourne Uni, Nick Rees, did say to us here on this show a couple of weeks ago, just before the election, that American people tend not to vote for policies when it comes to electing their presidents. They tend to vote for vision and values. And in a sense, what this election has done is to really nail to the mast the values by the two camps, the two competing camps.
Yeah.
And in a sense, what you're describing is a set of values that Trump has really heralded. And they are very much, you know, anti-political correctness, sexism, homophobia, discrimination, division, etc., etc. Do you share that analysis?
Well, yes, I do. I think it's important that to recognise that there are a number of unfortunately, we tend to talk about groups in American politics and rely on these very blunt categories of identity politics. But if we allow for that, what Trump has done has actually suggested that there is an appeal to this anti-government, this resistance movement against the cultural elites. Now, I mean, I'm dealing in caricature, and I feel that way when I say it. But the coastal elites, the universities, Hollywood, we all assumed that they'd got it right, that we're all moving towards a direction set by those groups. And Trump comes along and in this election has shown us that a number of people, you know, over 75 million people, were prepared to, excuse my French, give the finger to this cultural hegemony and actually vote for some resistance to it. And I think the challenge now on the left is to deal with that, not to assume that history is moving in their direction. But there are a number of people in the United States, I mean, half of those voting, give or take, that decided, many of whom held their nose and decided to vote for Trump as a measure of resistance against what they saw as you describe as a form of political correctness. And I don't think the left, they've got an ostrich approach to this, put their head in their sands, keep doing what they've been doing. And that's not going to win them political power. They've got a highly compromised president now who won't be controlling the commanding heights of the American political system. He's got control of no significant state house across the nation. And has been elected with the smallest share of the non-white vote since 1960. It's an extraordinary turnaround and nothing that anybody that was anti-Trump 4 years ago would have predicted.
So, Tim, what do you predict will happen? What will happen on the 20th of January leading up to it?
It's an appropriate question, but I think we're overdoing it. I mean, Trump is a curmudgeon. He can be entirely disconnected from reality. But there is no constitutional mechanism that will allow him to stay in that office beyond noon of January the 20th, 2021. I mean, it just isn't. He can't park tanks on the White House lawn and stick his nails in the desk. he will have to leave. And I think it's almost measurable now. With every day that passes, more and more Republicans are obliging him to accept this reality. But I think the questions you've asked are the right ones. In some ways, he's not the relevant thing at issue here. It's what he leaves behind. What movement might the Republicans be able to capitalize on, and what the Democrats must now do to counter it. But that will all happen with Trump out of the White House. And we can speculate that he'll run in 24. And I think a lot of his attitude and recalcitrance now is based on this idea of fostering a narrative of the election was stolen. So he has added appeal in 2024. So I'm not discounting that. But I think the larger question is what forces he has given some articulation to, and both parties need to deal with that, and I don't think they are.
I think that's actually very right. It has to be dealt with, otherwise it'll continue to fester and gain a life of its own, which, you know, he has certainly propelled. And I would argue that this idea of his, we were just calling it loosely Trump TV, his investment in his own media empire might in fact continue to further this whole issue.
But I mean, the problem with that, Tass and Tim, from my perspective, is Trump is actually one of the world's worst businessmen, right? So many businesses he's run has gone bankrupt, right? If he does Trump TV to take on Fox, to take on Fox because Fox called Arizona, right? And you know, they've killed the golden goose, also known as Donald Trump, apparently. The reality is, Trump TV, you're talking about a hugely expensive proposition. Whether he uses one of the other lesser right-wing networks, but for him to actually run that and for people to watch it, remember, it's got to be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is a hugely expensive undertaking. I suspect there will be, he will get, you know, try and get back into bed with Fox. But he needs to keep interest. He needs to keep raising money. He needs to keep... But the politics of it is what he needs. There are so many governors and congressmen and state senators and federal senators that have been elected on his coattails. And he's going to be out there trying to keep them in the tent, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I mean, I think you make a valid point that he's a poor businessman. What I don't think we can dispute is that he understands the medium of television, as certainly no president ever has, and he will use that to his advantage. His grasp of social media, that was crude and appalling if you're on the progressive side of politics, but highly effective. So, I think Trump, the accusation that he's nuts does sort of hold, but he ain't stupid.
Oh, no.
And he's been relentless in defence of his own proposition. His capacity to market himself is just an extraordinary feature of recent American politics, and that will endure. And I've got it's very hard to see any ex-president going bankrupt, because you're so marketable, whether you've been good, bad, or indifferent. But I think you can imagine Trump being a central voice in American politics for as long as he remains cognitively capable of doing so. The issue is whether the Republicans think there's a future without him. And if that future means losing the votes, the new votes that he's been able to bring on board, well, then Trump remains relevant. But we're dealing with two old men now who are the dominant figures in American politics, Joe Biden and Donald Trump. They have to be, of their very nature, transitional figures. What Americans are deciding now is what they transition to. Will we get something that's less driven by identity politics on the left and less driven by Trumpism on the right? And I think there's an optimistic case to be made that we're in for a reformation of American politics, that these two extremes have exhausted themselves and we'll find a greater consensus. This is the pattern of American history. It lurches from left to right, but eventually it finds a point of compromise and consensus and tends to do very well on the basis of that.
It sounds like this is a watch this space, really, isn't it? Yeah. So we need to watch this and see how this evolves.
All human life is in the United States. The working out of the human condition.
Yes. Look, thank you, Tim. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. Look, let's, as we get closer to the inauguration and also once the election is declared, let's get you back on for another chat about how you see this panning out, because a week is a long time in politics and a day is a long time in Donald Trump's life. So
it's always great to talk to you, gentlemen. Always a very, very good discussion. Thanks very much.
Good on you. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.